one of my favorite Easter songs. It's not one that we sing here, but I've sung it in other parishes. It's got lots of hallelujah in it. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then there's an Easter verse that says, now Christ is raised up from death. He will never die again. All who follow his way shall have life in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, hallelujah, praise the Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, Psalm 150, it's all about Jesus. Praise the Father for the gift of the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit that creates faith in you and me. Look, water with the Word of God is a sacrament of salvation. But water by itself is just water. But with the Word of God, with Jesus, there's repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. And there is life everlasting. Hallelujah. The story is told of a woman who lived kind of in poverty. She didn't have much, but this particular woman, every day, everywhere she went, she was always saying, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. She was praising God for everything. Now, she had a next-door neighbor who was an atheist. And as you can imagine, this poor woman who was always thanking God, always praising God for everything, was an irritation to her next-door neighbor, the atheist. It was driving him crazy. He'd say, will you knock off with the nonsense? There is no God. And you've got nothing anyway to be thankful for or to praise God for. So will you stop being so silly? It's annoying. And she would look at him and say, praise God. And then she would just walk on. One day, the next door neighbor, he heard this woman praying. She said, Lord, I just praise you. You always provide all of my needs. And now today, there's nothing in the cupboards, and there's nothing in the refrigerator. But I'm praising you because I know and I believe that you're going to provide for me. When she woke up the next morning, she opened the front door, and what was there? A huge basket of provision. She said, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You've provided again. You always provide. Praise you, God. Praise you. Out pops the next door neighbor, the atheist. And he looks at her and says, see, I told you, that didn't come from your Jesus. I'm the one that went and got that stuff and provided all of it here for you. There is no God. Stop with this nonsense of praise God. And you know what she did? She looks up and she says, dear God, I just want to praise you. Not only have you provided again, but you made the devil pay for it. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Doxology. Praise. Our Easter word is hallelujah. Some churches, we bury the hallelujah during Lent, and then it rises up in the season of Easter. But we know that hallelujah is not just a word for God's people when the going is good or easy or simple. But hallelujah is a word for God's people even when the going is rough and tough and when life isn't exactly working out the way we want it to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not necessarily for all the circumstances, but because of what God is going to do in and through those circumstances. Determined to glorify His name and to bless His beloved creation. You see, God created you, and God, in His mercy and grace through Jesus Christ, attached you to the true vine, Jesus. And our Heavenly Father, He's the vine dresser. And He's not going to give up on us. He's going to continue to care for us, to love us, and to put His mercy in us and through us. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Where are we supposed to praise God according to Psalm 150? In heaven and on earth. The heavenly host are praising God. And that's why we were created. That's why we've been saved. That's what Revelation says is where we're headed. Everlasting life, heaven, is not about every day doing 18 holes of golf. But it is about every day, praise the Lord. Did you know that in the New Testament, the word hallelujah is found only 4 times? And some of you know where it is. Revelation chapter 19. The first 3 times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's in heaven. The whole heavenly host are praising God. And then, the bride of the Lamb. We, the beloved church, the branches connected to the true vine, we are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and guess what those on earth do with those who are in heaven? We sing hallelujah. That's who we are. Praise the Lord, people. Psalm 150. In fact, the whole Psalter, the book of Psalms, is called in Hebrew Tehillim. Tehillim means praises. The book of Psalms has 2 psalms that introduce it, Psalms 1 and 2, and then the book of Psalms is divided into 5 parts, corresponding, I believe, to the 5 books of Moses, the Torah. And every one of those 5 parts in the book of Psalms ends with a doxology, a hymn of praise. And then you get to the end of the book of Psalms, the Tehillim, the praises, and you get 5 psalms. Interesting, huh? 5 parts, 5 psalms, Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, and all 5 of those psalms, the first word and the last word is hallelujah. You start with hallelujah, you end with hallelujah, and there's praise the Lord in between. And then you get, well, the Psalter, the book of Psalms, the Tehillim, ending on a good note. No pun intended. But Psalm 150, only 6 verses. And did you count it? I know we were doing responsive reading. You're not supposed to be counting at the same time, right? You see, Psalm 150 is not just suggesting or inviting us to praise the Lord. Those are commands. There's a difference between it. Not, well, if you think it's a good idea, if you're kind of in the mood, if maybe the team won the baseball game, you know, I mean, there might be something that we say, oh yeah, today's a good day for me to praise the Lord. No, it's a command. 13 times in 6 verses. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. In His sanctuary, the church, in His mighty firmament, in the heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Well, spend a little time in the Bible and you won't have any trouble recounting His mighty deeds. Over and over and over and over again. I believe that God has created me and all that exists. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve, and obey Him. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, He has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. Not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Why? So that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Well, I can't believe it. Oh, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit has called me and you through the gospel to create faith in us. His mighty deeds, according to his exceeding greatness, just because of who God is. Lord, L-O-R-D, ego eimi, the great I am. The God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I am who I am, for whom I choose to be. I am the Lord, your God. You see what he does? From the very beginning to the very end, he says, there's a non-negotiable here. I am the Lord. No others, not one of many, but I've decided to be for you. And here's the proof. Cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus goes all the way to the tree, the cross of Calvary, for you and for me. Praise the Lord. Praise him how? Well, with everything you got. Pull out the stops, for crying out loud. Praise him. Like with trumpet sound. Got the brass? Praise him with timbrel and dance, and praise him with strings and pipe and with lute and harp and sounding cymbals, loud clashing cymbals. Who? You got breath? Got any breath in here? Anybody still breathing in here? Everything that has breath. If you breathe, praise the Lord. You see? Praise the Lord. We see episode after episode in the book of Acts of hallelujah. I'm convinced in Acts 3, when a man who has never been able to walk for over 40 years, when all he can imagine is just a handout, gets a hand up, when he gets raised up and he's able to go in the church, walking and leaping and praising God, you can bet your boots that he said the Easter word. That's what resurrection people do. They don't just say it or talk about it. They actually participate in it. Hallelujah. You know he said it. You know he meant it. You know he did it. He lived it. He clung to Peter and John and wouldn't let go. Well, tonight we're in Acts chapter 8. And you got a deacon of the church who's supposed to take care of, you know, administration and waiting on tables and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit has a mind of its own. And it says, Philip, I got a job for you. This is the spirit of the crucified and resurrected Jesus. And he sends him out into the desert. Well, you better hope there's an oasis. Look, water. He doesn't even know that he has a rendezvous with an Ethiopian who's a eunuch. Now, maybe he was born a eunuch, maybe he was made a eunuch, or maybe he simply chose to be celibate for the glory of God. He's in a chariot, he's been up in Jerusalem worshiping, and now he's heading home. And what's he reading? He's a rich dude, no question about it. You have to have lots of money to have the Isaiah scroll. That's a big scroll, very costly. He's sitting in a chariot, he's got power, he's got position, he's got wealth, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he's on chapter 53, which is one of those suffering servant songs. Hallelujah. And Philip is told to go over and join him. Go over and join him. And did you notice what Philip does first? He listens. He listens. And he hears that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from Isaiah 53. And now God has opened a door through the Holy Spirit, and so now comes the question. Do you understand what you're reading? You know as well as I do that this Ethiopian could have smiled and lied through his teeth. Oh, yeah, yeah. No problem here. I got it all down. I got it all figured out. It means exactly what I say it means. I mean, he could have lied about that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people, even to the present day, that want to say, oh, yeah, I got it all figured out. And it means exactly what me and my own autonomous subjective self says that it means. But he doesn't do that. He knows God. He just hasn't met Jesus yet. He needs Jesus to be saved. Acts 4:12, there's salvation only in the name of Jesus. And so he says, how can anyone hope to understand the word of God unless there's someone to guide him? You want to come up here and read scripture with me? They read it out loud, you know. And so Philip gets up in the chariot and they're riding along and they're reading. And I love what it says. I got to admit, I'm a little bit heartsick that we don't get the sermon. I mean, I wish I could have heard, because he says, this is what St. Luke says. St. Luke says that beginning with Isaiah 53, verse 7, Philip told him all the good news about Jesus. Don't you love it? He told him all the good news about Jesus. Now, fortunately, we're in Acts chapter 8, and we already know about Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached, who was one of the apostles that laid hands on for the deacons that were appointed, and we've already read Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching. We know that he told them what Peter had said. What he learned, he passed on. And we can be sure that on Pentecost Sunday, when the people's hearts were cut to the core and they cried out, what must we do? And Peter says, you must repent. Present tense verb. Right now, right here, every day. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Because the promise is for you and for all that God calls to himself. You can be sure that Philip was faithful in his proclamation. And how do we know this? Because in the desert, there's an oasis. And did you hear what he said? Look! Water! What is to prevent my being baptized? Well, unbelief. No repentance, the absence of the word, just water. Philip baptizes them. That's because there is faith in Jesus and there's repentance of sins. There's the word of God, Jesus. And what do you suspect? What do you suppose that Ethiopian eunuch did? I'm guessing he probably said, you know what? I don't want to ride in that chariot for a while. My legs are walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah! Because that's what baptized people do. That's how we live. Walking and leaping and praising God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. You know those hymns. We've got so many of them. Oh, creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice with us and sing. Oh, praise him. Alleluia. I mean, that's what we do. And Philip, who could have easily said, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I said I'd take care of being a deacon. You know, maybe hand out some bulletins, you know, or read some scripture or help serve communion. But hey, I didn't sign up to go out preaching in the desert. And before you know it, he's doing word and sacrament ministry. I wonder who ordained him. Oh, the Holy Spirit. And it says that from then on, he's going to other places. And what's Philip doing? Preaching the good news so that people get Jesus and get saved. Did you know that later in the book of Acts, you find out that Philip had four daughters? And they were eunuchs. They were celibate. They weren't married. And they were preaching the gospel, telling other people about Jesus. I don't know if they were ordained or not. I just know that they were preaching good news. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his exceeding greatness. Pull out all the stops. I mean, if we had an organ tonight, that's what Scott would be doing. I mean, that baby up there, all the stops would be out. He wouldn't be holding any of them in. The flutes, the trumpets, everything. Right, Scott? Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. John Wesley, he and his brother Charles, the Methodist Church. John Wesley, when he was 21, he'd been raised in a Christian family, good-looking, extremely intelligent. John Wesley was 21. He went to Oxford. And he, to be honest, to tell the truth, was a bit of a snob. And he would use sarcasm. And so there was a porter, you know, somebody who takes care of baggage and stuff, a poor man who only had one coat, who didn't even have a bed to sleep in. But he was always thankful. And like the woman I told you about at the start of the sermon, he was always praising God. And sarcastically, John Wesley looked at this porter and said, "What have you got to be thankful for? You're destitute. You don't have anything but that one coat. You don't even have a bed to sleep in." And the porter said to John Wesley something that he never forgot that changed the 21-year-old's life forever. He said, "I've got everything to be thankful for. That God has come into my heart and saved my soul. That he has given me faith to love him and a desire to serve him. How can I not praise him?" And John Wesley said, "Never in my life up to that point had I met someone who was authentically, hallelujah, authentically, hallelujah." When John Wesley passed away in 1791, he was 88 years old. And on his deathbed, the last words in his mouth were a hymn of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.